Good morning. My name is Thomas Provenzlich. I'm an American living in Berlin, and the title of my talk is Simple QED, The Absorption in Raman Scattering with a Question Mark. Introduction. Simple QED is a heat transfer process applicable to nanostructures, for example, nanoparticles, which I'll be calling NPs. It's similar to inelastic Raman. It changes the frequency of the incident light. It does not follow elastic Mie theory. And it has nothing to do with Feynman's QED, so you can forget about that connection. Classical physics. It allows the atom to have heat capacity at the nanoscale, the conservation of heat proceeding by a change in temperature. However, heat transfer at the nanoscale is controlled by the Planck law of quantum mechanics, and this differs significantly from classical physics. The Planck law denies atoms in nanostructures the heat capacity to conserve heat by a change in temperature. Here's what I mean. This is the Planck law. Planck energy here on the ordinate and electron volt on the abscissa, electromagnetic wavelength in microns. Now this yellow curve is the Planck law, and you can see at this point around 200 microns is a break point. From this, classical physics would go all the way across. Over here at the nanoscale there would be KT energy. But you can see quantum mechanics doesn't do that. So basically KT decreases for lambda or 200 microns. Of course this is at 300 degrees Kelvin. And it vanishes for lambda less than 0.1 micron around 100 nanometers. There is basically no KT heat capacity at the nanoscale for the atom. Nanotechnology has generally ignored the Planck law and continued to use classical physics, which just means there's many meaningless papers in the literature. And to explain this, researchers in nanoscale heat transfer have not simply appreciated the significant difference between classical physics and the Planck law with regard to the heat capacity of the atom. It's the only way I can explain why it hasn't been used. Now the question then of course arises, how do you do heat transfer without temperature? Well, heat transfer without temperature, you can't use the Fourier law. Stefan-Boltzmann equation is not applicable. Molecular dynamics with PVC without PVC or periodic boundary conditions assumes the atoms and nanostructures have temperature. An alternative is to formulate nanoscale heat transfer based on the Planck law. This is the logical thing to do. Now there are many variants of this, and what I've proposing here today is what I call simple QED. You can have your own idea. And what it is again a method of nanoscale heat transfer. It conserves heat. The important thing is I'll be using electromagnetic radiation to conserve the heat instead of temperature. And QED stands for quantum electrodynamics. This is the complex theory based on virtual photons advanced by Feynman. You all know this. But this simple QED that I'm proposing only requires the heat capacity atoms to vanish, allowing conservation by electromagnetic waves standing across nanostructures. Quantum state. Unlike electron level quantum states, simple QED quantum states are size dependent, and they're based on the dimension over which the electromagnetic waves stand. The Planck energy of the simple QED state assumes the time tau for light to travel one cycle across and back over a dimension d at light speed corrected for the index of refraction is simply tau equal 2d the distance divided by the velocity c over n. Hence, the energy is h over tau, this comes out hc over 2nd, or the wavelength will be 2nd. You'll find I'll be using this throughout the talk. Electromagnetic confinement. The interaction of light occurs in the nanoparticles surface because of the high surface to volume ratio of nanoparticles. But you have to go further with this definition. And what I'll be arguing here is light having a wavelength lambda greater than d, the light is absorbed in the penetration depth of the surface. Here I show light in yellow coming in to a nanoparticle in white. The light surrounds the nanoparticle. It does not come in on one surface. It's all over uniformly because the lambda is much greater than d. And the light absorbed then moves into the thickness of the nanoparticle, and as you can see here, here's delta. And for an elliptical nanoparticle, the simple QED photon stands across the Fermat minimum diameter. And here you see the simple QED photon is standing across the minimum diameter of the elliptical nanoparticle. Confinement. If you take an iron nanoparticle, you want to create a 254 nanometer UVC photon. You need an energy of 4.88 EV, and taking in for iron of 1.5, the diameter turns out to be around 85 nanometers. And the confinement of that light while creating the UVC photon, you have to have a confinement at least equal to the energy. So if I take a photon, bring it in of energy E, that's equal to Q. And the pressure P acting on a surface is given for a bulk modulus B and a volume strain delta V over V, as you see here. But pressure is nothing more than energy over volume, and from this you can combine these two equations and you come up with a thickness of an absorption layer for the UVC photon at 0.2 femtometers. Okay? And repeating it again, here's a spherical iron. I put it in a liquid bath. The blue here is the bath. The gray area here is a line area where difference between KT equal 1 for the bath, in the gray area, KT is less than 1. So by conduction, the heat will travel from the bath into this gray region. And that's valid because Fourier's law is okay out here at KT equal to 1. So it's valid, Fourier law is valid for KT equal to 1, but not KT less than 1. And the radius R sub S in the bath at 300 degrees Kelvin, where you have thermal KT energy, is around 200 microns, as I pointed out earlier. And at 200 microns for lambda, you can compute the distance R sub S at around 36 microns. And the heat flow from the bath at RS is converted to 4 IR, 200 microns. Upon being absorbed, it will produce the simple QED photon. Now the radiation in this gray region, there are also standing waves, and they will be 200 microns. It's really a high energy, a high quantity 200 micron bath region, the gray region. Now, simple QED conserves the thermal energy 1.5 NKT by creating standing radiation inside the nanoparticle. And for the 85 nanometer iron nanoparticle, the number of atoms is 2.7 times 10 to the 7th, and the thermal energy, the total thermal energy, is 1 MeV. And so you have, since one photon is 4.88 EV, comes out to be a 200,000 UVC photons per nanoparticle. We'll talk about this later, but if each of these photons hits a DNA, there'll be a lot of damage but the UVC photon must be created promptly. It takes time, but the time has to be below about 5 femtoseconds, which is generally assumed. And here I show an application. Now, what I show here is the nanoparticle producing a 254 nanometer photon, but that energy is going into the bath. So there's an increase in temperature at the surface of the bath, as you can see it, but this is very small, micro degrees C. And the heating of the bath by, I'm heating the bath again of a single UVC photon. And if I take arbitrarily one femtosecond is the time for the energy to be created, it comes out around 780 microwatts. But it recovers, you can see this will recover in about one picosecond, it's 10 to the 12. But we have a desired creation time of around 5 femtoseconds, which I show here as a white dot. So how can we justify that? And this says that the heat cannot go in, it's three orders of magnitude away from meeting this criterion of 5 femtoseconds. Well, let's look at the temperature of the bath at RS much greater than 5 femtoseconds. Now, since the incident electromagnetic radiation is absorbed into penetration depth, 0.2 femtometers of the nanoparticle, which I've already described, what is the creation time of the UVC photon? Well, we just went through this, but basically tau is 2D divided by C over N. And for 85 nanometer, it comes out around 0.85 femtosecond. So what this means is the UVC creation time, less than 5 femtoseconds, is acceptable. And the time to create the radiation depth will be longer, but it doesn't matter. Once the depth is produced, the UVC creation is very fast. So, but in regard to the damaging effect on DNA, our human body, we have around 10 to the 13 cells, and each cell has about 10,000 DNA breaks per day. And in terms of seconds, it's around 10 to the 12 breaks per second. So the time for a nanoparticle in a bath to create a single UV photon is comparable to the 10 to the 12 DNA breaks for the total human body. So this little nanoparticle is doing quite a bit of DNA damage, assuming that each photon is absorbed by a DNA, which is not likely. But regardless, our immune system must compensate for the DNA damage, and it does, because we learned from the early Earth that the organisms at that time were under intense UVC radiation. So they needed the UV radiation to produce ATP, but then again, they had to develop systems to protect against the UV. So basically, we're still okay, but the nanoparticles are damaging. What about SIRS? Well, surface enhanced Raman spectroscopy, inelastic scattering, incident and scattered light have different wavelengths. And here I show a laser coming into a nanoparticle in blue. There's a molecule in red attached to the nanoparticle. Here you see the scattering coming off. But the nanoparticle is also creating energy. Simple QED radiation is producing energy inside the nanoparticle. And I show here with the yellow photon, it's coming over, it's going to be absorbed by the molecule. It in turn will emit radiation. So that combination is what we're talking about. Now for a CW laser, the light may be redshift or blue shift, but for a single photon light, which I'll be coming to later, only redshift is possible. And simple QED differs from SIRS, as absorbed incident light is emitted by size-dependent states of nanoparticles. Maxwell's simulation. Simple QED suggests modifications of Maxwell simulations in nanoscale regions of macroscopic structures to conserve heat by electromagnetic radiation instead of temperature. In Maxwell simulations, need to include size-dependent electromagnetic emissions in addition to external electromagnetic radiation. You have to include the size-dependent emissions as well. Evanescent waves. They require thermal origin, but the Planck law precludes temperature fluctuation. Now, transformative optics, and this I presented this about 3 years ago here, a super lens by transformative optics. But the transformative optics depends on some fairly complex processes based on evanescent waves. But no matter what, you cannot explain enhanced image quality because evanescent waves just don't exist in nanoscale film. And to repeat that for some of you that weren't here 3 years ago, simple QED induces silver film thickness. The super lens is a silver film, and it's 35 nanometers thick. And it will induce that film to produce the subdiffraction light 2ND. Here's the picture. 365 nanometer UV coming in, goes through quartz. This is an etching. Here's PMMA, it's the plastic. Silver film is shown here, this is the super lens, and this is the photoresist. And what they find is without the super lens, without the silver film, distance here is around 243 nanometers, but if you with the silver film, it's down to 89. And the diffraction limited P star for PMMA is simply 365 divided by 1.5, or 243 nanometers, which agrees with what they measure. And the silver super film, a super lens, excuse me, for this index and this light, it converts the 243 nanometer light 2 times N times D, 89.6. As you can see here, you don't need 243 nanometers. You can have anything. The light will be emitted at 89.6, but again, that's what they measured. And dark matter. Simple QED converts galaxy photons as a particle, they're in space, to a wave when it's absorbed in cosmic dust and then back to a redshifted particle. Here's the galaxy photon coming in, hc over lambda energy. As a particle, it's absorbed by a dust particle in space, it creates a wave. And by simple QED, we know the wavelength will be 2ND, and you can see this is the energy coming off. This will be redshifted because 2ND will be greater than lambda. In 1970, Vera Rubin, she is a woman scientist, famous, she measured the redshift of lines, so the N2 line at 658.3 nanometers, did extensive work on that, and they found a redshift of 0.001. This gave them a velocity for the galaxy of 300 kilometers per second. But when they knew that wasn't right, because the M31 velocity they can measure is much smaller than 300 kilometers per second. And what was decided at that time, not necessarily Vera Rubin, but only dark matter could have slowed the velocity down from 300 kilometers per second down to a low value. You needed dark matter, and this kind of formed the origin of dark matter. But cosmic dust permeates the universe, so if that photon is coming in and is absorbed, as you see here, it would automatically shift. And if I take an index of 1.3 for the dust, you can backtrack that and show it's around 253 nanometers. So these small particles, submicron particles, are redshifting the light. So what this means is dark matter does not exist. The conclusion I'd like to reach here is this was the symbol for the conference, and I look at this two ways. One way is to consider light going from the left to the right. Here the energy is uniform, it's well known, but when it comes out, it's all over the place. This is kind of the way we stand right now. But another way of looking at it is the other way. Here where you can hit, here's radiation coming in, and if this is nanoscale, again, if this is nanoscale, then what you're going to do is produce one single wavelength, lambda equal to 2nd. So I leave the conclusion as lambda is equal to 2nd and go from there. This is my email and homepage. Look on my homepage, you may find other things of interest. Thank you very much.